This week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke is brought to you by GoDaddy.com. Save 10% off any order by entering the promo code BLU13, that's BLU13, at checkout. Or get $5 off purchases of $30 or more by entering the promo code PODSAVE13 at checkout. Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And it is the winter finale, folks.
Finale!
Once Upon a Time is gone for about a month and some change.
About a month.
Month and some change.
Good times.
Or about 3 days in Storybrooke time.
Yeah, seriously, they're killing me. I was just thinking that while I was watching, I was like, how long has actually passed? Does anyone ever shower or sleep?
Just the people under the sleeping curses. So.
Well, the sleeping... Okay, well, touche. Continue.
Yeah, but very good episode this week.
So, yes.
A lot of secrets revealed, a couple new things started. But why don't
questions answered.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Emma and Snow have someplace to go. Gold and Queenie use all their smarts. Hook meets the Queens, and the baddies are teamed. In this week's episode, Queen of Hearts. Please make him stop rhyming.
I will never stop rhyming.
Complain, please. It was just too lucky.
I get compliments on those.
By who?
People walk up to me on the street and they're like,
where do you go? Know, where are you going? You're getting people walking up to you saying, you know what? That rhyme on Greetings from Storybrooke, fantastic.
Once upon a time conventions mostly.
Oh, they have a lot of those here in Georgia.
Yeah, and I'm also wearing a t-shirt that says, please compliment me on my rhyming intros for my podcast. And they just come up and they're like, we really like your rhyming intro on your podcast. And the back of the shirt says, I'll give you a dollar. And then I hand them a dollar. And,
they're on their way. So that is where the ad revenue is going.
Yes. to get people to compliment me.
Fabulous. Anyway.
Okay. Queen of Hearts.
Queen of Hearts.
What'd you think?
Loved it.
Loved it?
Loved it. I like when things...
loved it, want to marry it, or loved it, it's okay.
Let's hang out a little bit.
Yeah.
Get to know each other. Take a couple drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah. no, it was really good. I'm just happy that as I was typing up our notes for tonight, I was like, oh, we figured that out tonight, and we figured this one out. And we figured that one out. It's nice to have your questions actually answered.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of the points that we brought up last week were brought up this week.
Right.
We'll get there. Yeah. Okay. So the first thing, the number one big event in this episode to me wasn't Snow and Emma coming back from Fairy Tale Land. It wasn't Gold and Regina teaming up. It wasn't any of that. It was the fact that Hook and Cora are offshore of Storybrooke.
It's not Hook, Cora. Yes.
Yeah, they're in the boat.
Uh-huh.
Offshore of Storybrooke, and the town has basically no defenses because Gold took all of the fairy dust.
Gold is up to something.
Well, he used all the fairy dust, supposedly, on the well curse.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. He stored that wand very gingerly from the dead fairy. It was very gingerly placed away.
See, I don't know.
Don't believe that that's all the fairy dust in the wells or the caves.
Yeah, but it's the only they found.
Well, that's all the... You got to dig a little further.
It's not like Cora and Hook are going to be there in a couple weeks to give them time to find fairy dust.
True.
They're about a 5-minute sail right into town, basically. So
it's true. It's true. Could be interesting.
Definitely.
So, dear Regina, stop lying. Just stop lying. This poor child. You've adopted him. You've told him he was wrong for years and years. No, that's a story. That's a story. Oh, yeah, no, it's real. It's real. And now you're lying again. No, I'm going to help them. I'm going to help your real mother and your real grandmother. Now, just stop with the lying. You're making me mad.
Well, she spent like, I don't know, 3.5 to 4 decades of her life being...
a bee?
Yeah, a bee.
The queen bee.
You know, just being manipulative and selfish to a degree.
I know, but she makes it, she plays it off like she's trying. She's trying so hard. And then, I don't know, is she under a spell from Rumple? Because anytime he says something, she jumps.
See, I think she is trying, though.
I think she's trying.
Yeah, I really
am. I the only person in America who just does not like Regina at all, ever.
No, why would she take that funky green curse into herself to you know, placate Henry if she didn't care about what he thought?
She does, but I mean, she'd already
like. I mean, you could speculate maybe it's like some sort of weird plot she has with Gold or
something. How did she not die?
But them setting up the whole plan was in a private scene between Gold and Regina, and they would have talked about it. You know, they would have talked about it more than we need to kill Cora, and if that means killing Emma and Snow, then so be it.
Yeah, well, that works out for Queenie, doesn't it? But how did she not die with all the green?
I don't know, she's pretty powerful.
The green was supposed to kill Cora and Hook.
Yeah, but I think that was maybe had to do more with the fact that they'd kind of be impacting into it very suddenly, where maybe she was able to kind of filter it herself. But I do wonder if there's actually going to be, you know, repercussions for her from taking all that nastiness in.
Yeah. And really, what was it supposed to do? That's the curiosity. Like, how was it going to kill her?
I don't know. Probably just
I mean, is this like
melt the skin off their bones?
Is this like the killing curse in Harry Potter?
I'm not familiar. It's been a while I've read Harry Potter.
We're no longer friends. Anyway.
I read all of them when they came out.
You read all of them?
I actually, except for the last one.
Yeah.
I didn't read the last one.
The best one. We'll have to download that for you. Anyway.
Okay, moving on. Instead of guilt tripping me about not remembering every plot detail of Harry Potter. Where did Hook get the bean?
He took the bean from the giant.
And why hadn't he used it before?
Because he hadn't gotten to the water. It was a petrified bean. Were you not listening?
Did they?
It was the bean from the giant. And yes, they said it specifically.
They said it specifically?
Yes.
Okay. You know what? I must have been so busy wondering where he got it that I missed the explanation.
He held it up and said something to Emma like, ooh, doesn't this look familiar? And she's like,
she literally said,
the bean that the giant had.
Oh, I just assumed that she just recognized that it was a bean.
No, it was the bean that the giant had. And he only wore it because it was petrified. It was a memory.
Mm.
And the reason he hadn't used it is because it was petrified. But then they got to the lake. Hence, we have to go gardening.
Yeah, well, that part I got. I just didn't understand necessarily why, if he had had it for so long, he hadn't found some way to use it.
He'd only had it for a few hours.
Fair enough.
I'm just curious if it was always a plan B. Like, why did he do it? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, because it seems like you don't need the compass to use the magic bean. You just say, hey, I want to go to Kentucky. And boom, you're in Kentucky.
Yeah, pretty much. And why would you go to Kentucky?
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
So, anyway. Where does Cora keep her heart if it's not in her chest?
I don't know. You would imagine that...
Like, I'd feel it should be locked up somewhere, but she's realm jumping here. Wouldn't you kind of carry it with you?
Yeah, one would think that...
In a leather bag, well, perhaps, as a satchel.
Does she have a satchel?
Well, that's where Aurora's heart was.
This is
or
true.
Was that really Aurora's heart that is now in Aurora's chest? Dun, dun, dun. You really haven't thought of that?
I hadn't thought about that at all, which is why I'm very silent right
I
now.
I know. I'm like, you're never
I'm
quiet.
I'm trying to decide if that
is ridiculous
or brilliant.
I'm going brilliant.
I'm leaning over more towards ridiculous.
What? Well, then where is Cora's heart?
Cora's heart, I don't know, because she was in Wonderland. She got transported there. Who knows if her heart came with her?
This is not a woman who's going to leave her heart somewhere that she can't protect.
She didn't have
it.
Much of an opportunity, though, when she got sent to Wonderland by Regina, by being pushed through that mirror. She didn't know that was going to happen. She couldn't have prepared to, unless she was carrying her heart on her at the time.
Again, in a satchel.
True, true. But, you know, it could be in Wonderland, which means it's destroyed.
How would it? No. How would it have gotten to Wonderland? Stop.
I'm saying if she had done the heart removal safekeeping thing after she arrived in Wonderland, because there's
I was like
yeah, sorry if I wasn't clear on
not
that.
Not at all. Okay, though.
No, but I'm just saying that, you know, there's one of two places it could be. It could be in Wonderland, or it could be basically on her. You know,
right.
So. We'll see. Or who knows? You know what? Come to think of it, when Regina's talking to her quote-unquote body, mm-hmm. when she decided that her and Hook were going to stay in Fairytale Land through the curse and everything,
right.
it was right after Cora had mentioned the whole heart thing, you know, mm-hmm. love is weakness, but you hold my heart, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, because doesn't Regina have Cora's old heart cache, or at least part of it?
Possibly.
So maybe Cora, or maybe Regina actually has Cora's heart and just doesn't know it.
I could see that.
And maybe that's why she wants to get to Storybrooke so bad, and why she lived through
because
that
28
years.
Because now the hearts are there.
Yes, yeah, so she knows it'll be easier to get it back there than it would be. From someone who had already unleashed a curse, at least that's how I understood mm-hmm. it, in that scene with Cora's body.
The body. The body. Okay, anyway, sorry. Okay. It's your turn.
It's my turn.
Your turn.
Emma has superpowers. She can,
like,
do, like, psionic. She can, like, do psionic blasts from her chest.
Boom, boom.
Her heart mind, or her chest mind.
Her white.
White magic?
That's what he called it. Did you listen during this episode?
Yeah, when we rewatched it tonight.
Yes,
I
double speed. I love rewatching it at double speed.
Especially the bite scene. They're completely spastic.
You do miss out on the dramatic pauses, though.
Yes, yes. Which makes the show run about 20 minutes. No, but she has total superpowers. Gold apparently doesn't know about them. That's pretty
apparently.
Cool.
Apparently.
Apparently.
It's very hard to judge what Gold does know or what he assumes. Because mm-hmm. he doesn't seem very surprised.
Yeah.
When she's like, so my heart is just sort of like...
Which, that was another thing that kind of resolved something that we talked about last week, in that I was saying that it seemed like Emma really wasn't doing anything, and now that she had saved the town from the curse, that... She was pretty much done as a character, kind of run into a brick wall as a character.
Right.
And then this week, she has superpowers, which, going back to my first point about the fact that Storybrooke has no...
there is no magic. Well, yeah. There's no fairy dust, which is magic.
Yeah, but, you know, since they don't have any fairy dust, she might be their only defense, you know, with maybe a little Asis from Gold and Regina.
And whatever they have powdered in their science laboratory.
Yeah.
Sure.
Exactly.
I could see that.
But yeah, that was a pretty cool development. I also kind of wonder if maybe, you know, going back to Fairytale Land, the Enchanted Forest, whatever you want to call it this week. but, you know, going back there, maybe it started to unlock a little bit of who she was meant to be if the whole curse thing hadn't happened and she hadn't been sent to the real world and all that. Who she might have actually been in Fairytale Land if her life had proceeded normally.
Probably. It probably, like, recharged her or reactivated.
Yeah, maybe she...
Her.
Maybe
activated
she,
her, I guess, really.
Maybe she was destined to be a fairy tale that we all know and love about, a very powerful girl named Emma.
Right.
But
we just don't know it because it never happened.
Because of the curse.
Oh.
I kind of like that idea.
I like it. I like it. It's pretty cool. Okay, this bothers me. How... Do Gold and Regina know the exact time that whoever's coming through the portal is coming through the portal?
Mm-hmm.
How do they know that's happening right then? Or if they didn't know it was at that exact time, because I can see you venture out early to set your plan in action, and how long are you going to stand there and stare at the really bad green lightning in a well?
Well, this is another one of those situations which...
We don't know the time.
Well, it pops up in the show occasionally. It's either Mr. Gold knows more than he's telling,
mm-hmm.
or a writer messed up somewhere.
Like, okay, because did that bother you too?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm like, how?
There were a couple inconsistencies with that whole situation with them going to the well, and how did he know the curse would work? How did he know for sure that the well would be where the...
I'd have assumed the well out. Too, but
yeah, if you know the lore, if you've been a fan of the show, the well totally makes sense. But for a character within the show, I'm not so sure.
Unless you're Gold. And apparently, kind of Belle, because he kind of took her there too before when the magic first came back.
It's a very
powerful well.
Yeah.
And wasn't Bay involved in the well?
It's
like Gold's thing, is the well.
I don't know if Bay was involved in the well. I remember
near the well,
August showing Emma the well.
Ah.
As part of his whole slowly breaking it to her that she's a storybook character kind of thing.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, that just really bothered me. But I mean, I'm going to give him the benefit and say it's Gold knows more than he's letting on, because
mm-hmm.
we're seeing a lot of things that I'm just not convinced he's not involved in.
Yeah, well, with him, it's so hard to tell because, you know, last episode he was very helpful and he was turning over a new leaf and this mm-hmm. and that. And then in this episode, he's like, hey, why don't we kill Snow and Emma just to make sure the Cora doesn't make it through to Storybrooke?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't know if that was on his part. I don't know if that was fear or if he actually anticipated that would happen or if he wanted Regina to do what she did for some specific purpose.
He might have thought it would kill her and make him the most powerful.
This is true.
It's always an option. They do have that battle.
But with an enemy.
An enemy.
No, with an enemy having you in their sight, she'd think you'd want the most powerful people you had available
on your
around.
Team. Yeah. Right. Who knows?
I don't know. Who knows with Mr. Gold? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows anything with Gold. Belle, figure some stuff out for us. Please.
Okay, Hook in this episode. For the most part, he was portrayed pretty much as, you know, a classic bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there were a couple moments where it kind of seemed like he was working with Cora towards a purpose, and he was still actually kind of loyal to Emma, but he was just kind of upset about the whole being abandoned in Giantland thing.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that's the case? Do you think Hook could still potentially be on the side of the angels?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you won't disagree with me, I will. I think Hook is completely on the side of the baddies now, in that him and Cora are the worst people on Earth, and ha.
That was very mature.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Prove me wrong.
I still think Hook is playing his own game. He's all about himself. He doesn't care who he has to use to help to get there.
You're right. I'll stop being the contrarian now and go back to my original viewpoint, which is exactly your viewpoint.
Yes.
I thought there'd be more discussion, though. But yeah, him giving Aurora's heart back, the longing look he gave Emma.
When he's turned on.
Always.
She can fight. She's tough. Mm. She's not scared of him.
Yeah.
Hook is his own side.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting what he needs from Cora,
mm-hmm.
but he'll get what he wants from Emma.
Oh yeah, I thought they kind of the whole thing with
the sword
and the hook,
that was horrible.
I wouldn't say horrible, but it was very obvious they were going for a sort of symbolism. Because I mean, even the line
the line was
something about I'm not
prefer
used
to
losing.
No, I prefer to do something more fun when I have a woman on her back.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
And then swords.
Sword and hook.
Oh, wah wah. Okay, I'm sorry to harp on it. Dear Regina, if you want to go to dinner with everybody, go to dinner with everybody. Did anybody sit there and go, dwarves, join us. We're going to Granny's.
Well, the dwarves are like part of the group, you know, from back in the day. You know, you remember?
I'd have invited myself along. Forest. She was right there.
There was like the glass coffin.
Or why didn't she at least go, can I come? As Henry's walking away from her. I don't know. People are like an online. I really must just be a really mean person because everybody is like, my heart was breaking for Regina. You would think as a mother, my heart would be breaking for Regina on moments like that. But no, stand up for yourself. You have no problem doing that with anything else.
You preface this whole thing by saying, I might just be mean.
I'm really.
I
just
think
mean.
That's the case. My heart literally tore in two.
Yours?
And I cried blood because
cry
of
blood.
How much this made me feel for Regina. Honestly.
No, seriously?
Hyperbole, but seriously. I felt for one of my notes is poor Regina.
I'm the meanest person in America, then.
Yes, you are.
I'm the only one who feels this way.
The only person I can think that's meaner than you is Mr. Gold, who came in right after it happened and was like,
that
you're not
sucks,
gonna eat dinner
don't it? Okay, yeah. I'm just mean, as you are.
I felt very sorry for Regina, and, you know, especially after she... Well, I guess Emma and Snow didn't really know this, but after she, you know, sacrificed to make sure they were okay for Henry, but still.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, she was implicit in sending them there and blah, blah, blah. And actually, you know what? Why wasn't there more of a confrontation about that when Snow and Emma got back?
Because they got back. They're just...
happy to be back.
Happy to be back. Let it all sink in over a granny burger and a beer.
And Snow was just concentrating on getting Charming.
She's
out of
like, hold on,
room.
I need to make out with my husband while you're all watching.
and then clap for us.
Right. Yay! Did they use tongue? Yay!
Okay, now, in this episode, Aurora and Mulan's journey comes to an end and a new beginning.
Yeah.
Their journey with Emma and Snow comes to an end.
Okay, I'll buy that.
So do you think we're going to see them traversing the underworld trying to find Prince Philip in the next half of the season? If it comes back, if they're going to use it as just something that, you know, you get one or two glimpses of the rest of the next half of the season, or...
are they going to be a main thing?
Yeah, or if it's going to be, 20% of every episode is Aurora and Mulan's journey of self-discovery.
I personally hope it is not 20% of every episode. I can take a snippet and then maybe like a full episode every like five.
I would like to see like next to last episode or last episode of the season, something crazy goes down. I don't know. Let's say Emma and Charming and Gold are banished to the underworld. And boom, there's Aurora and Mulan to save the day. And one of them sacrifices themselves right then.
Mulan. Okay, I mean.
I would like to see it like that where, you know, they give it long enough to where we almost forget about them and about their quest. And then it comes back to save the day.
They'll never do that, but.
Yeah, probably not.
No. But I don't think they'll be as prevalent as they were in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Or there will be something like they'll find Prince Philip rather quickly and they'll just be like, you know what? It's just us here. Let's go to Storybrooke.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do that? So, I don't know. It's a thing. So the pirate ship.
The pirate ship.
Where the heck did it just come from so quickly? This literally, I mean, you could tell it all. It was 10 minutes tops. They were standing there.
Well, wasn't that Hook's pirate ship from...
It was Hook's pirate ship, but they were nowhere near it.
Well, who knows? Because I'm guessing...
Is this another one of those time problems that bother me?
It could be a little nitpicky.
I mean, I love the pirate ship.
Yeah, but, you know, for one, we don't know how big that protected bubble of the Enchanted Forest, how big it is. Like, yeah, they might be at this lake, but the ocean might be just, you know, 20 minutes that way. And Hook would have his pirate ship tied up there waiting for them.
Well, after the curse broke, the whole thing was open. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to get to the Charming's castle.
Oh, this is true. This is true. Okay, point conceded there.
I mean...
No, but I mean, realistically, they could have had enough time to get to the ocean.
It seemed like he's like, Cora, you doubted me? I have this bean. Mm-hmm. And she's like, it's shriveled and useless. And he's like, hello, the lake that just brought everything else back to life. And then 3 minutes later, they're starting to roll on into Storybrooke.
Well, it wasn't really... I mean, for one, we don't know. Yes, they were playing the scenes...
Quick.
I know. Synchronized.
I have issues with the time stuff. I'm sorry.
They could be a dilated time kind of thing or a compressed time kind of thing. Who knows? But, you know, one, there could be an issue with how time flows in both of the lands. Two, we don't know how long the travel... through the portal takes. It might be instantaneous. It might have taken 5 hours.
That's true. I'll buy that.
And three, them traveling over to Storybrooke to find David and go talk to Gold and this, that, and the other.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that
could have taken half an hour, an hour.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, there was enough time there.
That's true. Okay, you're right. I'm wrong again.
It's fine.
It's cool. I mean, I've gotten a preview wrong many times with hard fact tonight, so that's fun.
Okay, now I really enjoyed the episode.
Right.
We'll get into our ratings in a minute. I haven't decided
ratings.
I haven't decided what unit of measurement we're going to be rating tonight's episode on yet.
Hearts. But
I did have one kind of major complaint about this episode, and actually this whole. And I guess this will be a good point to talk about our feelings on the half season.
Uh-huh.
But one of my biggest problems is. At the end of tonight's episode, they were minus some small character development, a couple new characters introduced. They were basically where they were at the start of the season, which is in Storybrooke. You know, just realized who everybody was.
Well, I mean, it's only been like a week.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean. It, because Snow and Emma have been separated from them, there in our main core group of characters, mm-hmm. there hasn't been a.
There's been like no development.
Yeah, past the first couple episodes when everyone was getting in place and Snow and Emma were, you know, getting their bearings over in the Enchanted Forest and Charming and Regina were butting heads and figuring out Henry over here. Like, we really haven't had. Too much development this season. And, you know, one other complaint, criticism I have about this half season as a whole mm-hmm. is that we haven't gotten nearly as much backstories on fairy tale characters as we did last season.
Right.
Like, last season it was generally like one episode was majorly concerned with the whole curse plot. And then the next episode would be kind of like a character profile piece
right.
about someone we'd never met before.
Yeah, I'd like some more we've never met before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because, again, we're going to go back to the haterade for a moment. Small, it's just a shot.
No, it's not a haterade. It's a nice
okay,
little
well,
booster.
Going...
It's a nice little booster shot of hate we're giving them to kind of say, hey, oh, we like the show. Here's where you can improve. You know,
because they listen to us.
The creators of the show listen to this podcast.
Of course.
That's a known fact. Look it up on Wikipedia on the entry for William Randolph Hearst. So I'll put it there so no one knows. But go ahead. What were you saying?
I don't know. Oh no, I kind of like that we're ending where we began. I like the full circle mm-hmm. thing.
I mean that works well if it's executed well. Like
they could have done a little bit better.
Trying to think off the top of my head, like Shaun of the Dead. I don't think you've ever seen it.
No.
But maybe. That's a very circular movie that kind of ends where it begins. But the thing about it is if you took the script or like the ideas in the script mm-hmm. and like folded them up like a book mm-hmm. until they met, it would be like one half of it would be the mirror image of the other half. Like,
oh, okay.
You go from point A, B, C, D, and then the last half of the movie you go D, C, B, A, until you're right back where you started. When it's done like that and it's done with, you know, really a lot of thought and care.
Right.
It's one thing where it's very obvious that's what they were going for. With Once Upon a Time, I don't think it necessarily points to that's what they were going for.
No, it's not that. That's not what they were going for.
They were going for getting us to get into
more characters.
The Enchanted Forest.
A little bit, yeah.
Explain what happened there a little bit, which I can understand completely, but I really think, you know, that could have been four episodes. And then they could have...
They really dragged this out a lot longer than they needed to. Yeah. That's the problem.
And I mean,
also, I would like to throw this out. What about Charming's dad? What's he been doing for the past four episodes or whatever?
I'm assuming he's just in the pokey.
I don't know if the pokey's going to hold.
His son's the sheriff, so...
Yeah, and then his son willingly was like, hold on, let me put myself in a sleeping car. I don't know. Anyway.
No, but for that criticism, which I guess could be considered a pretty serious one, saying, yeah, hey, the structure of your half season kind of sucked. I think we still got a lot of great episodes.
Yeah.
What was your favorite episode of the half season?
Oh. Man, you really sprung that on me. I wasn't prepared
yes,
for this
I did.
Question.
Do you want me to answer it first while you think?
I need a list.
Okay, well, I would definitely say it would be a tie between the season premiere. For me, it would be a tie between the season premiere and the Frankenstein episode, which I thought was phenomenal.
It was good, but it wasn't my favorite.
It wasn't your favorite. No. See, I just thought stylistically it was really good. It was really good to finally get that whole whale, who we haven't actually seen since then, mystery off of our back.
But we haven't seen, like, anybody this season. That's the problem with them being separated, mm-hmm. which is why I really hope we don't follow Aurora and Mulan too much so that we can actually, like, have a season.
Watch, the next half season will be...
It's like all...
It's just all them. There's nothing that happens in Storybrooke.
Storybrooke does not exist. Okay, I'm getting there.
It's fine. It's fine.
I'm getting there.
No, but I thought the first episode of the season started out super strong.
Oh, it was fantastic.
A lot of energy. A lot of things went down. And I mean, I don't want to say that the show fell off or anything, but...
It had a moment.
There were a couple... missteps where, you know, they just like wasted half episodes here and there.
Yeah, that I would definitely agree with. Mm-hmm. Okay, broken. We are both Lady of the Lake. I did like the crocodile. I'm a big fan of crocodile. Obviously not Tallahassee.
We Are Both was a pretty good episode too, actually.
We Are Both was pretty good. I really, really liked the crocodile.
Did you?
Yeah. Like, just going back looking and mm-hmm. having them all, like, flash back at me real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what, actually, I mean, even with that major criticism, there were only one or two episodes this season that I thought just weren't good.
Right.
Like, at all. Okay, well, we've been negative. Let's each say a couple of things we liked about the episode.
And being negative, I'm not sure. things that I liked about the episode.
Or not the episode, but the half season.
Oh, the half season. Well, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
I like that the Charming family is all back together. Mm-hmm. This makes me happy. I am happy to know everything we learned in Tallahassee, even though it was wasn't what we wanted.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing where they go with that.
Mm-hmm.
That
would be something that made me very happy this half season, all told, is all the answers we got.
We did get a lot of answers.
And generally, every answer didn't come with three more questions. It came with one or two.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, there wasn't too much more. So, I also liked the amount of Korra because I really enjoy her, mm-hmm. which is weird because I hate Regina so much.
Yeah.
Maybe because I haven't seen Korra do as many mean things,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Besides killing her daughter's true love and...
I didn't like her daughter already, so it was okay.
Killing an entire town.
I wasn't very pleased with that, but I didn't see it happen. I knew it happened. I knew it was her. But No, maybe I just like Barbara Hershey. It could just be that. She's just entertaining and fantastic. So, her dramatic pauses are absolutely stunning.
They are.
They really are. Anyway, continue. Your favorite thing.
Actually, my high school guidance counselor was named Barbara Hershey. And when I found out there was an actress named Barbara Hershey, I would constantly get confused anytime she'd come out with a new movie. I'd be like, Barbara Hershey. Just because actually my mother's name is also the name of a famous mystery author. So I'd be walking through the store and seeing her name on the book and be like, oh, my mom wrote a book.
No.
I'm trying – new characters we got – this half season so far. We got Hook.
We got Hook.
Got the Giant.
Got Aurora. Got Mulan.
Got Lancelot.
Lost Lancelot.
Got Gus the Mouse.
Lost Gus the Mouse.
I think that's about it.
Pretty much it.
Out of all of them, your favorite?
Gus the Mouse. No.
Gus the Mouse.
I'd have liked to have seen Lancelot develop more.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be back in some, like, flashback sequences. He has to. Yeah. We have to know what happened in those 28 years in Fairy Tale Land. Mm-hmm. They'll never – there's an opportunity for a flashback. They'll do a flashback.
Did they say in tonight's episode that everyone was basically frozen until Emma showed
she
up?
She did.
In Storybrooke? Or was that just
– He was. So did she freeze him?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering if – everyone was just automatically frozen within that bubble, or if everyone but her was frozen so she could be up to no good and trickery and whatnot.
That'd be my guess. I do love Hook. Mm-hmm. I love the guy liner.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's the way it is. Your favorite?
I'll have to legitimately vote for Gus the Mouse. Just because I love that they introduced this beloved children's character that every child and adult who used to be a child knows. They introduce him. I mean, he was in episodes before, but they introduce him as his character. Next scene,
he's dead.
Cut in half.
And I mean, he was a very important character because we realized that animals could now be people in Storybrooke.
Yeah, yeah. He set up a rule in his two scenes, you know, for the universe.
His one scene really set it up.
His one scene and the one scene of his plaster of Paris mold that they made.
It's mold.
Okay, well.
I do have one more question.
Okay, go ahead.
For we are both when one of the dwarves went across the line. Wonder how his life's going. I mean, I know it's only been a few days, but how's that working? Because he's still obviously doing everything.
Has he been showing? I don't think he's been showing up in the group dwarf scenes. I don't think so.
See, this is something we'll have to go back and look at over the break.
Well, we'll have plenty of time, yeah.
Hopefully. Really will. because, I mean, I was just curious. I was just thinking about that. I was like, oh, all dwarves. And I'm like, did he just sort of fall back in line or what?
Because I remember...
Because he's obviously seen magic.
The episode that happened, which I believe was the premiere episode, or We Are Both, whatchamacallit, at the end of that episode, the dwarves are going to mine, and he was the dentist, wasn't he? And
probably.
I think so. And they just walk by, and they're like, hey, we'll be back, and you'll be restored, brother. You know.
Brother. A dwarf, always a dwarf.
And I wonder if anyone else has made that decision, too, to walk over the line.
I don't know. They had security set up.
Did they
so that nobody would walk the line?
Well, they can't set up security around the entire perimeter.
I know. I don't know. That's what they said.
I mean, these are people who used to live in the woods, who used to go into the woods all the time. They're going to try and into the woods and out of the woods and home before. There are giants in the sky.
Sorry, I've only seen it once. I don't know it that well.
I played the baby in
That's
the
appropriate.
Woods, and I was stage crew. Okay, anyway. This episode, Queen of Hearts, on a scale of Two of Hearts to King of Hearts, where did Queen of Hearts fall for you?
I'm giving it a 10.
I'd go so far...
Oh.
As to give it a Jack of Hearts.
I toyed with that.
Yeah.
I toyed with that. But you made fun of me last week when I overliked the episode. So I decided to downgrade a little bit and not be too enthusiastic. So
No, I really liked it, though.
I liked it. It was a good episode.
Great episode overall. Okay, before we move into our news and our listener feedback, I'd just like to talk to you for a minute about GoDaddy. GoDaddy is my web host. I've been using them to host websites like MeeksMixedMedia.com or even GreetingsFromStorybrooke.com for years now. And I enjoy them. They are very, very nice with the web hosting. I put my web files up on their server, and they get served out when people request my web address, which is about a way that's what you want from a web hosting service. You can also get domains through GoDaddy. They are very reasonable. They have just about any kind of domain you could want. If you want a domain that looks like it's coming from, I was going to say Syria, but probably not Syria right now, but I don't know. France, Tuvalu, Amsterdam, any of these countries you can appear to have a website in by buying a domain name at GoDaddy.com. Now, I have a couple of offers here for you if you want to try it out and help support our show. To get 10% off of any order, use the promo code BLU13. That's BLU13. If you want to get 20% off of your hosting package, use promo code HOSTPOD13, HOSTPOD13. And if you want to get $10 off a purchase of $40 or more, use the code 10OFF13. And all of these promo codes plus more are up on our website at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. We want to thank GoDaddy.com for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, and now it's time for the news. News. Okay, first off, we're going to start with the ratings. Let's see here. And according to TVbythenumbers.zaptoit.com, and we'll have this link in our show notes, at 8 p.m., the fall finale of ABC's Once Upon a Time surged over its adult 18 to 49 lead-in, plus 94%, to rank number one against its non-sports competition and stand as Sunday night's highest-rated scripted broadcast series. In addition, the ABC drama stood as the number one TV program in its time period for the second week in a row, with key women demographics, women 18 to 34 and women 18 to 49. ABC's Once Upon a Time also scored substantial gains via time-shifted playback, spiking over its preliminary numbers by 3.1 million viewers and by 1.4 adult 18 to 49 rating points.
That's fascinating.
Yes. So overall, Once Upon a Time, they're back up on an uptick after the little dip they had there.
Little dip. We kind of predicted the dip, though.
Yeah. Yeah. But, woo!
Once Upon a Time. Ending on a really good high note, which is, I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
Great to have that go out with a bang, because that makes people want it more. So they'll probably go back, watch those episodes online, get caught up, and maybe listen to our podcast.
I haven't seen. Do you know if they're doing any sort of like replaying the series before it starts back up again?
I haven't looked into it, but I can, and I'll probably tweet it out if I find it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised for like a, I don't know, like a Christmas evening or day after Christmas, Boxing Day sort of marathon thing happening. Maybe.
Possibly.
We'll see.
Okay, some of our spoilers. Both of my articles this week are spoilers from wetpaint.com. We have some episode titles for the second half of the season.
Ooh,
episode titles. Now, we only have two of them, but the first one is The Cricket Game.
The Cricket Game.
I wonder who that could possibly involve.
Surely not that nice therapist in story.
Surely that not that nice therapist Cricket. but it was, let me see, there was going to be more interaction with him and Henry. Lord knows Henry's going to need some therapy at about now.
Yeah.
Moms, grandmoms, this world, that world, take me with you. Yeah, he's going to need some therapy. that seems to be the main focus for The Cricket Game. Episode 11 is The Outsider. Nothing is confirmed, but what they are speculating is that they hope it refers to Neil Cassidy.
I would assume.
I would assume because they did say he was coming to Storybrooke in the second half of the season.
Besides August, who actually wasn't, he's the only outsider we've been introduced to so far.
True story. So I guess it kind of has to be Neil.
Yeah.
But it'll be nice to – I just hope that they can develop that more or make it not hate or 80.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make me hate that episode too.
It depends
on how they do it. It
depends on where they go with him too. Like,
yeah. Because, I mean, he seems to be quite successful these days.
Like, I'm still holding out hope that there is a fairy tale explanation for Neil Cassady. You know, whether that's Bay.
Well, and
which
they
is the popular theory
ooh,
still.
Ooh, ooh. Okay, so we watched the preview
for
Cricket Game. Excuse me. And it actually had Gold saying something about, I need you to find my son.
Yes.
So I believe Emma.
Yes, so.
And I believe said Bay. And then if he just shows up. I mean, that's just perfect timing the way those are set up.
Yeah, so that
that's
quote would have to be from the Cricket Game, though, because
what quote?
The I need you to find my son or whatever from the preview.
Yes.
Yeah, so it would have to be from the Cricket Game because if it was in the
preview
outsider,
was just
supposedly Cricket. Neil Cassady
would
already be there. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So my other article is some spoilerly stuff about what to expect. And this sort of actually pulls some of that. All right. I'll give you the quick one. There's a lot of them. Regina's redemption. Yeah. Regina is relieved to have the reason not to use magic anymore because it left a bad taste in her mouth. You will not keep my son from me was in the preview. So I think she's up and down with this redemption thing. She's like, I want Henry back, but I hate you. And then who knows what's going to happen when her mom shows up. Emma and Hook. Everyone wants to know if they're together. And according to Ruby, we're going to see some sort of romantic inklings between Emma and Hook for sure.
I think we already have.
Well, then who knows what that inkling is
going
to be.
Sword and Hook combo.
Sword and Hook.
Episode.
Let's see, Hook's entrance into Storybrooke. It's going to be exciting and not what you expect, according to Prince Charming, Josh Davis. Well,
what I expect right now is them to roll in on a boat. So,
well, maybe he's going to jump off the boat and take a whale in. They are in Maine.
Maybe the boat will turn into a dragon and fly over the town.
Possibly. But there is also going to be some more Rumbel stuff going on. But, I mean, she is a series regular, so she needs a little bit more going on right now.
Yeah. Well, she was in this episode, briefly.
Very briefly. That was a guest spot.
Although, I think that was the first time we've seen her
in that captivity.
In Fairy Tale Land, being held captive by
Le Queen. Bay, certainly expect to see more. Bay will return this season. It was hinted that Charming might want to return to Fairy Tale Land.
I wouldn't be surprised.
No. I actually almost expect that more.
Actually, I kind of expect there to be almost
a shift.
A split of opinion in the town. Mm. And like half of the people try and go back and half the people want to stay.
I wonder who. That'd be a fun one.
I would imagine anyone whose life has been impacted negatively by magic will want to stay in Storybrooke.
Right.
Everyone else will head back.
Seriously. More stuff with Jiminy Cricket. It looks like there's going to be some more flashbacks. We get a look at his love life.
Ooh.
Ooh. New characters we'll be seeing. Dr. Whale's brother. A mysterious stranger will come to town. So that's a good one.
Yeah.
And guest roles for the characters of Helena or Helena. Depends. Some people pronounce it different.
Yeah.
Arlo. I don't know who that is. Or Katarina.
Hmm. Not Raina Rumbel.
You're frightening. Hold on. I'm clicking those links because they were hyperlinked.
They were hyperlinked.
Let me see. character, Katarina. Who are you? Where are you? I'm sorry. I should have
done don't have time to dig into it right now. But if you have an idea, go ahead and write us greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com or tweet us at @GFStorybrooke. But right now, we're going to go ahead and get into our listener questions and comments unless you discover
werewolves.
Some...
I think they're werewolves.
Oh, cool. I like werewolves.
Both of them, actually.
Okay, so on to our listener feedback. First of all, we got another voicemail this week from our good friend Wynn, who also wrote a follow-up letter, which we'll get to in a minute. But first, we'll play your voicemail.
Hi, Anne-Marie and Bill. This is Wynn, and I have a prediction for next week. Remember how Cora impersonated Lancelot so well for so long? I think she and Hook will get to Storybrooke while in the forms of Snow and Emma, with the real Snow and Emma hot on their heels. Cora's magic might be strong enough to negate the spell cast by Rumple and Regina to kill those who go through the portal, and everyone then manages to make it through. Since we know Episode 9 has to end as a cliffhanger, perhaps Hook and Cora have just enough time to do something rotten to Rumple and Regina before the real Snow and Emma get home.
You were wrong, dude.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, maybe if we had put out a midweek episode, you could have basked in the glory of your brilliant
I loved it. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I
went with it. I went with it.
I would have watched that episode.
I actually kept expecting it after that prediction. But no.
Unfortunately
not.
But she did actually write us a follow-up letter after the airing of Queen of Hearts, if you want to go ahead and read that.
I don't actually have it in front of me, sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine.
I failed today. Okay. Well, crap. I'm batting 0-2 on my theories. But here's what I have to say about the end of the finale. I enjoyed it, but I was a bit disappointed that each side had their own magical MacGuffin to get to Storybrooke. I was hoping the writing would set up something more critical and desperate than our knowledge that the bad guys have an ETA. This has lowered my anticipation for the next episode, and I can easily wait until January. Ouch. Mm. Also, I couldn't help hearing the Lonely Island's "I'm on a Boat" song when we saw Cora and Hook at the very end. Is this a more annoying musical cue than Sing Me a Story? Wink. I think it's fantastic.
When I never loved you, and I love you even less now. You insulted my...
I'm on a boat!
My totem, my song totem spirit animal. Sing Me a Story theme song.
He's a loser. I liked it. I have had "I'm on a Boat" in my head all day.
I am very, very offended by the insult, but I also agree... That would be a pretty good – someone should do a mashup video of that. And in fact, if you're listening to this episode, you'll notice that I've put the song in our intro spot instead of a clip from the show. And this episode is actually titled "I'm on a Boat." So
it.
I do love the idea.
We love it.
Okay. And we just – this afternoon we sent out a tweet real quick seeing if anyone had any responses. And we just got one real quick. It's a tweet, obviously. But the tweeter's name, our handle is @GlotherDraven, and he basically said, "I thought it was a decent episode overall. It was kind of cheesy in some parts, and part of it got cut off." That's unfortunate.
But the cheese is good, man. Oh, because it was, you know, the good always wins and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, if you're watching this show, you have to expect it to be at least a little bit
cheesy.
It's
about fairy tales.
It's about fairy tales.
It's about fairy tales. And really, anything is better than the graphics for the giant. Who will be back?
Oh, and Henry was a total jerk to Regina, was the last part.
Again, I'm the only one in America who disagrees. So, yeah. There you go.
Thank you, everyone,
thank
for
you
your feedback.
Thank you so much for listening.
Definitely. We're going to be... Well, technically, the show's off for a month, so we should probably be off for a month. But we are actually going to do those
character
bio episodes
that we've been talking about
For you. We're going to do Rumpelstiltskin, and then we're going to do Regina.
Right.
We're going to try and do both of them on the break. We might not.
You know
make
how
it.
We are.
Yeah, and it's the holidays.
It's the holidays. There's trees. There's candy. All there's that presents. Stuff.
There's a giant dinosaur-like monster.
He's looking in the window right now, actually.
Yeah, just one eye
little
in
hungry.
The window.
Right.
So we're going to try and get to both of them. But your homework assignment, what we want you to do over the next 2 weeks, because it'll be at least 2 weeks before we get one of these character profiles.
Don't start
out.
Sending the hate mail until it's been 2 weeks,
no,
by the way.
No, you need to send – you can send the hate mail or you can send the love mail with your feelings about Regina or Rumpelstiltskin. You can send it you know, in we because we want to include that as part of the character profile. You know, we'd like to have a nice 15-minute section at the end where we can go over your thoughts about the characters, what you think about them. Okay. So if you want to go ahead and get those over to us over the next couple of weeks, you can email us greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. You can tweet them to us at GFStorybrooke, or you can call our voicemail line, which is
love that we have a voicemail line.
I know. I like
it. It's fun.
But it's 424-274-2352, and you can leave a message on your normal, you know, rotary dial phone if you'd like, and we'll play it on the show just like we did Wins in today's episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's about it. I don't want to leave.
You always do such a good wrap-up. I'm always like, I don't want to ruin it.
I think
we're going to miss you.
Yeah, we
Please
will.
Please feel free to review us on iTunes.
Oh, yes, we do have,
we got reviews. We got good reviews.
Actually,
I think somebody accidentally clicked a 3 and went to 5, by the way.
What's that?
The accidental 3. It was a glowing review.
Oh, yeah.
But it was only 3 stars. I'm going to mentally think it's a 5.
Yeah, I'll just assume that they meant
of course.
To hit 5. Oh, this is sideways. That's fun.
Yeah, I was confused when you emailed
that. 1 second. Let me hold my computer sideways. And we're going to read you a couple of reviews people left here real quick. Okay, the first one was from Nani. And it says, I recently found this podcast because of a recommendation from another podcaster, Daniel and crew. We know Daniel.
We know Daniel. Thank you.
I missed the first release but listened to the third and went back and got caught up. First off, I enjoyed that this couple enjoy the show. Most of the time. They always have good insight into the characters and the plot. I will be following the podcast as long as they release episodes. Nani. Thank you very much, Nani. That was actually written on November 7th, but I hadn't checked it in a couple weeks. So sorry for the lateness. I hope you're still listening, even though we just now got to your review.
Yes, I'm sorry, especially because last week I really pushed the iTunes review. We really appreciate it.
Well, that's why I checked it, because you pushed it.
Well, why not? I knew we hadn't had too many. I made this one. Okay, this one is from Apple Home.
Apple Home. I'm guessing that's just a default name.
Default name. Okay, I listened to several, have deleted many more. I'm picky. Don't judge me. I'm a huge fan of Once Upon a Time. Belle and Anne-Marie, you are wonderful to listen to and have interesting insight into each episode. Thank you. No, Apple Home. Thank you. Small, to the point. I like it.
You know what? I'm going to take the opposite viewpoint here.
What?
Why, Apple Home? Why do you come in here and throw these dishonest compliments in our face? Are you trying to butter us up? Are you trying to get my money? Are you trying to be part of the will? Because it's not going to happen. Apple Home, get out.
Do not get out. Please download every week.
Thank you, Apple Home, or whatever your name is. I'm going to call you...
We might refer to you more often now. Dear Apple Home.
our constant listener, Apple Home. All right.
So, thank you. Yes, for listening.
Definitely.
We look forward
to joining us this first half season.
Yes. This is we really just sort of came up with this idea fly by night, and I think it's working.
Yeah, I think we decided to do it, four or 5 days before the season.
No, it was
three
days before. You're like, this is the setup I need you to do for the document. I'm like, what? I'm like, I watch TV. I don't do documents.
But now you do.
But now I do documents.
9 weeks on.
I've learned something.
Yes. Actually, more than 9 weeks because we had the break.
That break?
Yeah. So 10 sorry. Weeks. It's our 10-week anniversary.
Woo!
Okay, we keep delaying. We should probably get out of here, guys. Just hit stop. We're going to keep delaying until next month.
Oh, next year!
Well, we'll probably get the Rumpel episode in. See, Got we're still delaying.
Okay.
Until next time.
Greetings from Storybrooke.